Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Oh, what's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you on this Tuesday morning. Well, an absolutely brutal loss last night. I mean, brutal with a capital frickin' B. We'll talk about it. We saw it. We lived it. We'll digest it. We'll discuss it. Look, all aspects of the game and obviously, you know, the team on the table today. From the offense to the defense to the coaching, the general manager and more, all of it. You're with you on the phone lines at 215-592-9494. Rich.
Joe. Giant kelp seaweed can grow 12 inches a day. Fastest growing plant in the sea.
Well, let me tell you, my Eagles heart shrunk a couple inches last night. Look, that was brutal. You know, there's a lot of ways to tackle this here today. And I'm going to tell you the mistake I think a lot of people are going to make today. And I'm going to tell you this right out of the gate, the mistake I believe a lot of people will make today. I think a lot of people today are going to tell you that the headline related to last night's Eagles game is that they lost and that they blew a game they should have won. And clearly those are headlines. I frankly, ladies and gentlemen, would refer to them as a sub-headline. The headline of the game last night, and I felt this throughout the game, and I swear to you, I was prepared to say this even if the Eagles had won that game, which clearly they should have by closing it out in the fourth quarter last night. The headline of the game, in my opinion, is that the 2024 Philadelphia Eagles appear to be a very mediocre football team. They look, to my eyes, to be entirely average. Now, obviously, I hope I'm wrong, and I'm well aware that we have seen teams in the past that have looked average and have come together as a squad and surged. 95 Eagles have done that. Other teams, like, it's possible. But right now, what I see on both sides of the football, with the offense, with a quarterback that still leaves the pocket too early, with a defense that has very little pass rush, with a defense that has a general manager's handprints all over it, fingerprints all over it, with disastrous mistakes. Bryce Huff obviously looking like the biggest of those mistakes, but you also got Jordan Davis, you got Josh Sweat, you know, you got Devin White, who's probably never going to play for the Eagles and more. The reality is what I see with my eyes, even if they had won the game, is a team that looks really average. And part of why I feel confident saying that is I think the Falcons are incredibly ordinary. And the Eagles lost to them. So look, we'll take your phone calls at 215-592-9494.
This is what happens.
On last night's game, on what you make of the big picture. John, whether it's the game or the big picture, what's top of mind for you?
It feels disgusting that we lost to that team because it doesn't feel like that's a good team. But that's a team that has a running game and a young and really talented back in Bijan Robinson that they just did what I wish we would have done more of, which was just pound the football, and that takes care of everything else. They simplified the game plan and beat us, you know, at what I wished was our own game. And so that makes it very frustrating. I blame Jalen for not making the plays to lift us up. He looked so much better physically last night.
He really did.
And that was a great sign. I was so excited for him to continue to lift us up and make those plays that extend drives and frustrate the other side. And eventually the other side just caves. They give in. That didn't happen. We ended up being the side that caved at the end and gave in. And I hate that. I also blame Saquon. You catch the ball.
No question.
On third down, you score the points that we need. Big picture, Saquon, we expect more of you, and you should expect more of yourself. You win that game for us with just a little bit more. And yes.
He catches the ball, the game's over.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's it.
And that 4.3 yards a carry, 95 rushing yards, good. You caught four balls for 21 yards, but what about that one that you didn't? The one that you didn't cost us the game. That's not good enough. We need you to make that play, win the game for us. And I believe that's in you. Of course that's in
you.
No
question.
And we will see that, and we will celebrate that. But we played against a team that had a little bit of surprise to it. Figure it out, everyone. Not just Saquon, not just Jalen. They got to figure it out. That team we played was feisty. Don't let them be. We needed to squash it by running more of the football. And so that's on the coaches
as
well.
They did run a lot, though, John.
You're right.
I mean, a lot.
It was a lot.
Because you know what?
They had
two different players with a running back with over 20 carries and a quarterback with over 10. That's a lot of rushes. They also only had 9 drives.
That does feel ground heavy.
Yeah.
But last week we were, in the grand scheme of things, ground heavy, but Jalen had 30 passing attempts. Saquon Barkley had 22 rushing attempts. Jalen had 13 himself.
Yep.
So we're in that safe zone where we are running an awful lot.
I think they do. So let me just say this. Again, we'll hear from you all day because phone lines are open, and obviously it's going to be jam-packed today. Hop aboard 215-592-9494. Look, I told you my big picture. My big picture is the Eagles to me look pretty ordinary, honestly. That's what I say. Now, I hope I'm wrong, but that's what I say. Now, let me give you the small picture, meaning last night's game, and let me tell you why they lost 1, 2, 3. Because there are three reasons in particular why the Eagles lost the game last night. Number one, weak defensive personnel assembled by Howie Roseman. There's no question about that. Okay?
This is a joke, man.
Huff, Sweat, Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis. I still got to see a little bit more of last night to know about Blankenship. But, I mean, imagining...
he's tough. He's pretty good. That feels like a joke at this point.
It does feel like a joke.
Bryce Huff, it feels like those quotes by Vic Fangio where he's saying, you know, like basically he can't do what he's brought in here to do. Like he can't play the run. That sounded so bad at the time, but you watch the tape. He's right. I mean, you watch the tape. It looks like this guy is ill-prepared. He is incapable of doing what we thought he was supposed to be able to do.
Not getting to the quarterback.
He doesn't do either part.
But this is one of those ones where, I mean, I'm telling you guys, I'm not going to stand here or sit here all season long and wag my finger at Bryce Huff if he's just no good. I'm going to wag my finger at Howie Roseman and say, why'd you give the guy $50-something million?
And Jordan Davis.
That's another one.
Last night, he was in the 20s, I think, in terms of snap count. In the 20s. Last night, we got the ball run down our throats. Bijan Robinson, he had 97 yards on the ground. My gosh, they had 152 yards total. Yeah. 28 carries, 152 yards on the ground. That's a pride thing that we should never allow that sort of thing. And Jordan Davis is the centerpiece.
He's supposed to be the run stopper.
Jordan Davis last night couldn't stay out there on the field once again in the capacity that we need to snuff that out, to stuff the run. Last night, Jordan Davis on the field, I'm Jordan Davis, 29 snaps.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Nolan Smith's giving him nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. So number one, they lost the game because defensively they are deficient, and that goes straight on Howie Roseman and his decisions. We've seen this from Howie before. We've seen him go up and down and up and down and up and down, and it does appear with the front end of how he rebuilt the defense over 2 years that he's made some big mistakes. That's number one. Number two, and I'm not going to let the end of the game obscure this reality. The offense, this includes Jalen and others, left too many opportunities available for points squandered in the first half. First half, the Eagles' offense did almost nothing. So, you know, this is a situation where I can't have the defense give up 22 points and you lose the game because you scored 21 and just, like, absolve the quarterback who in the first half was doing his, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to roll to the right. And I'm going to roll to the right, and I'm going to leave the pocket unnecessarily, and I'm going to roll to the right. Now, I give Jalen a lot of credit for two things in particular last night. He did look a lot more athletically spry. There's no question. Actually, three things.
So explosive.
He looked explosive. He was willing to do it. Now, I think it's, you know, risky. You can't do that, you know, 200 times a year. You're going to get knocked out. But he did a lot last night, and it worked. I mean, to help the team in points. And the other thing I'll say about Jalen is he played much better in the second half. Much, much better. But his first half and their first half offensively was bad. That's number two. Number three, they lost the game because one of the four best players on the team, Saquon Barkley, dropped the ball. Period. Yeah. I mean, they have four guys on this team, to my eyes, that are the four best. A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, Landon Dickerson, and Lane Johnson, to me, are the four best players. Probably Devontae Smith, five. One of your four best players, maybe your second best player, maybe your first best player, he just dropped the ball.
Make the plays that win the game.
He dropped the ball.
And he will. He will make that play.
He'll make it a lot. He didn't last night. So you got 1-1, and you got a team. And tell me if you agree or disagree with this. I know they played the game without A.J. last night. Obviously, it looks like they're going to do that for a couple weeks based on Lisa Salter's report last night. It looks to me like the Eagles are average. Do you agree or disagree? All right, look, just an absolutely brutal loss. I mean, really horrible. Now, we'll ask you the Twitter poll question of the day right out of the gate. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's truck season in Armin. Available 1.9% finance in an all-new 2024 light-duty Armin Silverados. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. Here's the question. Who do you blame most for last night's loss? Is it A, the coaching, B, the defensive line, C, Saquon Barkley, or D, Howie Roseman? Obviously, those names or those units are put in there for all the obvious reasons. And defensive line, that goes for both pass rush and stopping the run, which they were terrible at both last night. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Jim in Northeast Philly kicks us off. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Frustrated, Jim.
Yep. Hey. Struggling. Angry.
So I'm watching a game with a buddy of mine, and he makes this comment and says, you know, the last, because the game looked kind of tight, you know, it's the last team with the ball is going to win the game. Now, just before you put me on, you mentioned your Twitter poll. Mm-hmm. For me, it's coaching. Don't leave points on the freaking board. First drive, what got him down to the field was running. Saquon Barkley didn't touch the ball the first series. He didn't touch the ball. You get down, you go for it on 4th and 4. That kick, they kick the field goal there, guys. The game is 24-22. Mm-hmm. Why are you leaving points on the board? Pop Warner rules.
So, Jim, I'll tell you this. I know it's clearly one that's going to come under the microscope today, and it should, because it can go either way. I'm just telling you, honestly, I was okay with it in the moment. Look, there were risks both teams took last night. Atlanta went for a 4th down in their own territory when ordinarily that would be punt the ball time, you know, and having that conversion helped them win the game. So I don't think it's as simple as add those 3 points, you win. I really don't. But I know a lot of people do think that.
John, what do you think?
What do I think?
What
about?
Do you think of when Sirianni went for the 4th down very early in the game?
Anytime we're aggressive, I prefer it as an offensive guy. We failed. We failed to hit on that decision. I'm not going to fault it because I always feel the urge to go there. I always believe the right play can achieve that.
Well,
end
it can,
goal.
But there's a risk reward. I mean, you don't go for 4th and 37. So, did you think? So, in,
but that,
I, Rhea,
but that's
in the
fair.
Moment,
that's
did you
an acceptable risk reward
in the moment? What'd you think?
You're talking about the first drive,
the early one. Yeah,
I hate it that Saquon Barkley was not involved. I'm with the caller 100%.
Yep.
I was literally texting Hugh Douglas, going, I don't understand why he's not involved. It's pass.
Sure. What about going for 4th down? That's what the caller was asking about.
I didn't like that either. Yeah, not in the moment. I said go for. I actually have it on my text.
Sure.
Go for three.
Listen. I'm sure the fan base was split on it. James, in the moment, what'd you think of that one?
I said go for the field goal. I take the points there.
Right, let's tackle the one at the end of the game because this was another. I mean, this is very similar to last week when the Eagles. You know, you might forget this in Brazil on that Friday night had a decision at the end of the game to kick a field goal or go for it. It was a very similar type of thing. I mean, it was sort of different but kind of similar. So in the moment last night, near end of the game. I thought kicking the field goal was the right decision. Now, the Eagles had a 4th and 3. My mindset, take the 6-point lead. Do I trust the defense? No. Do I think the defense will likely do well enough in the final minute and 40 seconds to keep Kirk Cousins out of the end zone? Yes. They did it. I think it was the right decision, but again, like that's where to the last caller, first caller of the day, he's saying should have been, let's call it, less aggressive first quarter. Some people are saying should have been more aggressive fourth quarter.
The play calling to me is what cost him this game.
Did you not like the Saquon pass? I had no problem with it. He's got to catch it.
I hated it.
Okay.
Absolutely hated it because it's very simple. Atlanta had no timeouts.
Yep.
Okay? You take time off the clock.
If you don't get the first down, Atlanta gets the ball with a minute left.
But if you're third and three,
yep.
You don't think Saquon Barkley can pick up 3 yards or Jalen Hurts?
Well, he just dropped the football.
No, I'm talking about running the ball.
I get it, but like that was like
time.
it was like the same difference as if he fumbled
he
a run. Like it was that easy a play for him.
As
like,
a running back from 2021 than any other running back. But that's, I mean, my point is right situationally. You run the ball and take time off. They had no timeout.
So look, it's a juicy conversation. I know people were spinning their head last night trying to figure it out postgame. Obviously, what they did not work. We know that. I am not objecting to the decision to throw the ball to Saquon. If he catches the ball, the game is over. I am not objecting to kicking the field goal. If the defense plays better, the game is over. But they didn't. I get that. And obviously these things come.
That is such a celebrated call. If Saquon catches a simple flat route, that he will catch 99 out of 100
times.
Well,
it's like if Nick Foles had dropped the ball in the Philly special. If he drops the ball,
exactly. Everyone's
going to say, what the hell are you doing?
Everyone's exasperated. Yeah. What the heck? This guy doesn't even take football seriously in the Super Bowl. What's he doing out there? No, this was a half dozen here.
I agree with you, John.
There, like it really, there were a bunch of calls that really were right on the line.
Yep. No, they
in
were.
This game,
James,
we needed to play better. Just coach them better, and Jalen and Saquon play better. Like our pass rush, our D line, get upfield, get off blocks. You're Velcroed to blocks. Get loose and get upfield and tackle people with authority.
Scare some people.
Put the fear of God in people when you strike them hard. That's what football's about. And I think we got a little too far away from that. We were getting close. But
my concern about what you just said, John, other than Jalen Carter, who I think has it in him, I don't think the rest are good enough. I really don't.
That's a major fear. When you look at Bryce Huff, just look at Bryce Huff and be honest. When you evaluate him, just look at him. Does he look like other good edge rushers, guys who are productive, guys who can do it all, stop some run, and get productive double digits in the pass game? Yeah. I don't see that at all.
All right, well, I agree with you. Let's talk to Rich in South Philadelphia. Rich, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Rich?
Very hurtful, very hurtful.
Yeah.
I just don't like the decisions. They talk about Jalen's decision. It's the team's decision. You know, from the coaches on down, of course you run the ball and let that clock run out. But it shouldn't even have to go to that. The defense.
Well, just to be fair, Rich, the clock only runs out in that scenario if you get the first down. If it doesn't, let's just say you have a 4th-and-1 or a 4th-and-2, you're down to a minute. Excuse me, that would have been 4th down. Oh, no, on the 3rd down. Oh, my fault. You'd be down to a minute, and then, you know, you'd either kick a field goal or go for 4th down, which has
a risk. And they didn't need a minute to score, for what it's worth. They scored in like 35 seconds or 40 seconds.
I thought it was 105 or something.
Well, if they had needed to, they probably could have scored quicker.
They probably could have.
Four straight passes completed.
The three in a row right out of the gate were kind of stunning. I mean, it was disgraceful that it happened so fast. I mean, the ball went from the 30-yard line to like the 12-yard line or something in like 3 plays.
It was like they had a ghost runner.
It was a joke. and that's where I am. And Rich, I don't know this yet. I mean, I got to dive in today and tomorrow to know this. But I'm curious, like, who screwed up on the defensive backfield? Now, I know the front didn't get there. I get that. But that's where I wonder on the safeties and the corners. Like, you know, we know ultimately Darius Slay got beat at the end. But a multitude of guys got beat as that ball got down the field a couple different ways. But go ahead, Rich.
Yes, our defense, they need to take a day to learn how to tackle I look at these other teams, well-tackling teams. We don't tackle, which leads me to think that's why we don't blitz, because our secondary is so weak. They miss tackles, and there's no trust out there. I don't like a team that don't blitz. So I'm not liking the Eagles right now.
And Rich, we're not going to be a heavy blitzing team anytime soon. You know, Vic Fangio is a conservative defensive coordinator. He did juice it up a little bit in week one with some of the inside linebacker stuff. But I felt like, you know, week two, it was kind of like par for the course for what we should come to expect.
I agree,
with
John.
Vic Fangio. It's not gonna be crazy.
And Rich, for what it's worth, when they won the Super Bowl, that was not a heavy blitz team. I mean, not with an underline under the end, like not. And they won the Super Bowl. The reality is, and Rich, appreciate the call, Howie Roseman has appropriated funds to players who just aren't coming through, primarily on the defensive line. It's killing them. Now, will they start blitzing more if they have to? Probably. But don't kid yourself. That will lead to some exposure on the back end.
He does not want to blitz.
No, but he might have to. I mean, if the guys don't get there, he might have to.
They're not getting there.
No, they're not.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it was awful. I mean,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The only thing to me that could have made it worse, and I mean this, and I don't know if this resonates with people, but this is how I feel. I was convinced watching the game the Eagles just aren't that good.
I don't think you can say that at this stage of the season.
Well, I know it's
you
early.
Do recognize
no, I get that. But I mean, consider this, Sean. Like, defensive line looks bad.
The defensive line looks like you've got so much work to do.
Yeah.
Like you might have to provide four more. Like,
it's hard.
Like to revamp, you got to double what you got right now in terms of just players.
Seltzer, are we past the point of asking Chris Long to come out of retirement? I know that was like
lately?
A 2018, 2019 thing.
He looks like he's about 190.
In 2024, can he still do? I mean, seriously, guys.
No,
like,
he can't.
It's of course not. I mean, it's like.
How about Fletcher?
Yeah, seriously.
It is really
hard to win in pro football if you can't stop the run and get to the quarterback. It's really hard. I mean, it just is. Saquon manned up after the game. We'll play some of that audio post-game of what he said. I appreciate how he presented himself. Let's start with Sirianni. So as we have discussed and will discuss all day, there were a series of decisions that were really critical in the game. One of the most important, of course, to throw or not to throw on 3rd and 3 when the Eagles obviously threw the ball to Saquon. We know he dropped it. Let's listen to Sirianni after the game when Sirianni talked about it. Hold on 1 second. We'll get to that in a second. 215-592-9494. Let me get a phone call in here. We'll get to that. We got to get that audio assembled right. Let's go to Tom in Dover. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing?
Doing all right, Tom. Actually, you know what? Struggling.
You know, Tom.
Yeah. I already know how you're doing. It's just a morning thing to say, I guess.
That's right. That's right.
Let me say this to you, Joe. I don't know what makes you think you don't take them 3 points on that first drive. We got the ball. We drove the ball down the field. We didn't get the ball to Saquon at all. You take the 3 points, you go back to the bench and say, okay, we know we can move the ball against these guys. We'll get them the next series. You don't go back to the bench empty-handed, and now everybody's sitting there dejected. We needed them 3 points.
Well, Tommy, let me just say where I'm at on that. I'm not saying, look, to me it just could have cut either way. That's my point. I wasn't pounding the table in front of me watching the game last night saying, the Eagles got to go for this. It wasn't like that. My point was... Frankly, I was cool either way with it. I'm just telling you. That's my honest opinion.
Down in, man. Our whole section, man. We wanted them points, man. We needed them points. Now, the thing with the defense, I mean, I was texting a friend while the game was going on. I mean, they gave them 22 points. The touchdown at the end gave them the 22 points. They only had 15 points. As bad as the defensive line was playing, man, the defense was getting stops.
Yes. Yeah, but Tom, you know what part of that is? Atlanta's not very good. I mean, they're just not. I mean,
they're a scrappy team,
but they're not very good.
They've got a coach who is inspiring to the players. They like playing hard for them.
Yeah, look at their wide receivers.
They responded this week.
Look at the receivers. I mean, the Eagles come out there typically.
Yeah, Drake London's like their go-to guy. Drake London, a guy who, wow, is he? He's kind of like an in-betweener,
I mean, that's my
almost
point.
Like a tight end slash wideout.
The Eagles normally walk out there with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. The Falcons walk out there with three guys. You're like, who are these guys?
And
that's not a very good football.
Got that, but they've also got a commitment to the run game.
Well, they've
got a commitment to the stretch zone with Bijan Robinson. We're just going to keep pounding this thing, and we're just going to keep, you know, what they were doing with the stretch also. I mean, they were making our D line, those big guys, run sideline to sideline. When you watch Kirk Cousins, like he's really having to, I got to push it just to be able to get the ball the whole way out there to Bijan. They were taking the edges. We were conceding those edges because in a lot of ways early in the season, we haven't played a lot of football yet. Our big guys, Jordan Davis, this is rearing its ugly head.
Yes,
once again, we were told this year was going to be different. Remember that this year is so different. Remember Jordan Davis looks different. He's playing different. Everything's good. Everything's better with that. 29 snaps.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
And it wasn't good. It was standing up.
Yep.
It was getting pushed back.
Look, he doesn't look good enough. I mean, that's the bottom line. Let's get to Sirianni postgame. The 3rd and 3. Obviously, it was a pass to Saquon. It didn't work as he dropped it. Sirianni on that decision.
They were running a certain defense and it, junking it up in the middle. So we're trying to go on around the outside and, you know, it didn't work.
No, it did not work. Let's get to what he said thereafter, because then the decision was field goal or not. Go for it on 4th and 3 or kick the field goal to go up 6. Here's more Sirianni.
What was your thought pattern there on going, kicking the field goal on 4th and 3? Did you think about going for it?
Again, in that scenario, I was thinking they might not have any timeouts there, but obviously they did with the incomplete pass. That would have came down to maybe a minute, and so we wanted to go up 6 points, and it didn't work. So, the decision to pass it there, again, like I said, you know, where they were junking it up inside, with it being 4th and 3 to go for it, I thought. You know, with them not having any timeouts, I wanted them to be down a touchdown and see if they could drive the field, and they did.
Look, we can,
that's off to them.
We can parse these answers, all right, and we can relitigate the decisions 77 different ways from Sunday. If Saquon Barkley catches the ball, the game's over. Just the game's over. Now, I'm not saying it's as simple as he's the only reason why they lost, but he's a big reason why they lost. You know, it kind of reminds me, I don't know how many people remember this, week 2 of 06, Brian Westbrook fumbled a ball late in the game. One of your best players, player you totally trust, depend upon, fumbled the ball. Giants came down, tied the game up, forced overtime. Giants won the game in overtime. By the way, that's the same game. After
Are you the only person who holds this against Brian?
No,
Westbrook.
I don't hold it against him.
No,
I don't hold it. My point is, things happen. And that's the same game Javon Kearse had to go back out on the field and play defense. And he tore his knee, and that was the end of his Eagles career. I think that was the end of his career. You know, sometimes
I love Javon Kearse.
Yeah,
man.
But
he's a good guy. I
know he's a good
player.
Guy. Yeah, I know.
Explosive.
Sometimes great players make mistakes. Saquon made a mistake. He dropped the ball. I mean, I think he's an incredible football player. In that moment, he let him down. Let's get to Mike right now. Mike, you're on WIP.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Listen, you know, there's a simple analytical in the NFL, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You take the points that you take. 65% of teams that score touchdowns win the game who score first. Field goals, it's 57.9, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is Julian Lurie, the analytical genius from Harvard, should know that fact.
Mike, let me ask you a question. I'm just curious. Do you think Doug Peterson made the right decision to go for fourth and goal with the Philly special?
Okay. Let's just...
No, it's just a, yeah, it's just a yes, no. It's just a yes, no. I'm asking. It's a yes, no. Do you think Doug Peterson...
I think in that game, he had a great feel for the game. Yeah, I think it was a great call. But
did you think they should go for it before they ran the play?
Yeah.
I did, too. Look, there's a difference between a yard and 3 yards. I get it. But, you know...
It's instinct, okay? But that is an analytical fact. I mean, if you're going to use analyticals, use it thoroughly. Don't use it play-by-play. 57.9, you can capture that right at the beginning of the game. Why would
Well,
you
here's
do
the
that?
Biggest
that
here's
make,
the
make sense.
Here's the biggest argument, Mike, in my opinion, for what you're saying, if you're going to talk about the feel of the game. Jalen was struggling early. I mean, let's be real. They got the ball down the field on the second possession because Saquon ripped off three. It might have been 4 10-yard runs. Like, that's why the ball got down the field. Fourth and four early, putting the ball in Jalen's hands to throw it to Goddard, who, by the way, I am convinced after last night, Jalen Hurts and Goddard will never be on the same page.
No connection.
There's no connection.
We're going to Calcaterra.
That's a game tailor-made for Goddard should have 8 or 9 catches.
And when they went to him late, he caught...
But it's never going to work. I don't know if it's Goddard's route running. I don't know if Jalen doesn't see the middle. I don't know if it's play calling. I'm done with thinking that someday Jalen and Goddard as a combo will turn the corner. They won't together. They just don't.
The other thing I wanted to say was this hybrid defense. I mean, the Eagles are historically a 4-3 defense. That's what works for them. These small guys on the edges are getting crushed.
They are getting crushed.
They're not even moving. I mean, I don't even see game speed. I don't even see, like, it's like college speed.
Yeah, but Mike, I'll tell you this. I'm less concerned about what the Eagles were historically. And I hear you. Historically, they have been a 4-3 more than 3-4. Look, teams like New England, teams like Baltimore. I mean, Super Bowls have been won with a 3-4. Pittsburgh. You know, let's not overcomplicate this and say the Eagles got to run a 4-3 because they did in, 1985.
The way that the Eagles are doing it now.
Come on.
This is not, like, we're not outliers.
There are
this.
Things to complain about. That's not it.
No.
What it is when you pay people a lot of money, they got to do the job. Or if they can't, not don't. If they can't, you pick the wrong players.
We have D-tackle. We have a D-tackle that I don't think can do the job description.
I don't
either. We have a D-end, rush end, in Bryce Huff that I don't think can do the complete job description. That's the problem more than anything.
I totally agree. I mean, look, there's a lot on Brandon Graham. By the way, Brandon Graham will join us in studio coming up at 7:40 today. I mean, there's a lot on him in year 15, and there shouldn't be this much on him in year 15. There just shouldn't be. I mean, this is supposed to be the time for Josh Sweat, Bryce Huff, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, and you'd hope to have and Nolan Smith. But if Howie picked the wrong players, then he picked the wrong players. And I'm not saying Jalen Carter's the wrong pick. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he didn't do much last night. The other four guys, though, letting them down big time. Sweat, Huff, Jordan Davis, and Nolan Smith. I mean, it's like, what are you doing out there? Let's listen to Jaws postgame. He was ticked postgame, fired up on NBC Sports Philadelphia about the defensive line.
Last week, Kirk Cousins looked like he was a washed-up NFL quarterback with a bum Achilles. He goes 20 of 29 for 241 yards and 2 touches. With the game on the line, we got a quarterback that's a statue back there. Where is all this money that Howie has spent on this pass rush? Non-existent. Couldn't sniff Kirk Cousins with the game on the line. That's an embarrassment to this defensive line. Embarrassment to that pass rush.
And I'll tell you this: I'll give Jaws credit when we. It is that's strong comments.
It's so true. Though.
And when we talked to Jaws,
the game was on the line, and it wasn't even close. Well, no one was close to him.
They weren't. And I go back to we interviewed Jaws, and Jaws will be on our show at 7:25 today. We had Jaws on the program, I'm guessing June. It was before training camp. And we asked him, is Bryce Huff legit? And he's like, I don't think so. You know, I've studied the tape. I don't say it. So, you know, look, this might be one of those ones that's a washout both ways. The Jets get nothing with Reddick. The Eagles get nothing with Huff.
Let's just exchange them. Let's send him back and bring Hassan back here.
Seriously. All right, let's get to Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning, friends. I'm not even going to ask you how you're doing today.
Correct.
So, listen, a couple things. Everybody's going to roast the defense today, and understandably so. We kind of had to know going in that this is the Vic Fangio defensive philosophy, defend but don't break. So, you know, this is what we signed up for. But the fact of the matter is 22 points should not beat this team.
That's correct.
The two things that just jumped off of the screen to me last night were, first of all, Jalen Hurts, and there were some encouraging things in the run game, absolutely, but then you wind up in the same situation where do we really want to ask Jalen Hurts to do that for 17 weeks because there's no way he's going to hold up.
I agree.
Without A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts is just a different quarterback, and it's not even like a feeling or a perception anymore. The numbers bear it out. It's a fact. Without A.J. Brown, he's a completely different quarterback. And, you know, it's the last interception is, I've made my decision, wherever number six is, I'm throwing the ball to him. And, you know, the other thing is if this is the Jalen Hurts we have, there's a problem. I mean, you know, you're not going to win a Super Bowl with this Jalen Hurts. We talked last week a little bit, Brett Favre came up in the conversation, and John mentioned how, you know, when he was playing, the talk throughout the facility all week prepping to play Brett Favre was, just be patient, he's going to throw you a couple, and when he does, you have to catch him.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to get to the point where that's the way defenses are preparing for the Eagles with Jalen Hurts now. Just be patient, he's going to throw you a couple, and you have to catch him.
Well, it's three picks in two games, and here's the thing that was really irritating about that play, I think, in particular, Ken. It wasn't time to panic yet.
Oh, they still had a timeout.
Yeah, right. They had a timeout, and it wasn't like there was 10 seconds. Like, if there's 10 seconds left in the game, I get it. At some point, you just got to, you know, it's like you pull the goalie in hockey. You got a greater chance to give up a goal, but you're trying to get a goal. We all get that. It was, don't get me wrong, it was close to time to be panicky, but it wasn't there yet. You had time and a timeout and one of the five best kickers in pro football. And Jalen, it was a bad decision.
Well, that's the point, right? Is again, here we are, just like last week in terms of with the interception he throws to A.J. Brown in the end zone. You want your $255 million quarterback to fully grasp the entire situation and say, once I get across midfield, basically, I'm in Jake Elliott's range. I've got 23 seconds.
Totally.
I've got a timeout, and I'll trust Jake Elliott's right foot from 60 yards.
Ken, I agree with you a million ways. Good call, man. I totally agree with that. By the way, Brett Favre's name just came up. James, I can't spend more than 15 seconds on this because my heart hurts with the Eagles. We need to award a prize from yesterday's topic for the Jim Gaffigan tickets. Who or what overstayed their welcome? James, just give me an answer. I'm going to give you four names. Who most overstayed their welcome? Brett Favre, doing all his nonsense at the end of his career. Willie Mays, great player, played too long. Ben Simmons here in Philly. Tobias Harris here in Philly.
So Ben Simmons is the obvious one, but I'm going to go Tobias Harris. He was here longer, and just by the end, it was like, overstayed your welcome.
Listen, it's a reasonable answer. Chris, you've won the Jim Gaffigan tickets. We'll connect with you off the air.
He still seems pretty nice.
I'm so tired of that.
Yeah, nice guy. Sure.
I still would be, if I saw him, hey, what's up?
I know. You know who's also
thanks
nice?
Thanks for your service.
I know. You know who's also nice? Saquon. And I appreciate the way he dealt with this last night. And he's about 37 times better than Tobias ever was. But man, oh man, did he have a big drop last night. Let's listen to Saquon. He addressed it a couple different times. Obviously, he was basically asked the same question a bunch. Like, what happened? Like, okay. I appreciate the way he handled it. Here's Saquon postgame.
Dropped the ball. Let my team down today. Shouldn't have put the defense in that position. Made that catch, game over. Relax. Back to my old habits and just got to go back get back to work.
Were you surprised about the play call? Did you expect a running play? Or
no. Once I knew it, I thought it was a great play call. I just got to make a catch.
Well handled by Saquon. He doubled down on it about a minute later when he continued on. I'd say was even more elaborative in his, you know, in his answer.
Yeah, I could sit here and, you know, complain and be upset about it, or I could be a professional athlete and go back to the drawing board and, you know, take the lick, move on, and get better from it. I made that play multiple times. I missed that play before too, meaning the situation. That happens part of the game. And I just got to be better. I let my team down. I got a man up to it. I got on it, which I'm doing. And I can promise those guys in his locker room that I'm going to be better for
him. You know, it's a shame on a bunch of fronts. One, it cost him a game. Two, he has had a great start to his Eagles career. I mean, the first two games, he's been, I would say, more than advertised. Although, John, for
absolutely,
you, it's what you expected. But he's been better than I expected.
And you saw that. I'm glad that he's more than what you've expected. And you saw that he had 24 carries and however many touches it was. He ended up with the same number of touches weeks one and two, I think, which is, again, what we need from him. We also need him to catch that ball. He said himself he will. I can't imagine him dropping that ball in the flat again for this Eagles team.
Well, it was interesting postgame on NBC Sports Philadelphia. They did reference that he has the most drops of all running backs in the last three or four
drops
years.
Drops a lot. Yeah.
Whatever. I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that.
No, he gets thrown a lot of balls. He's one of the guys who has been on the field in that usage category, the heavy usage category.
It's also about as easy a catch, though. Like, it's not all drops are the same.
That's right.
You know, that was about as easy a catch as you'll ever have on a football field.
No question.
It's not easy to catch a ball in the flat.
But that one was nice. I mean, that one wasn't complicated. He just dropped it. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Dropped the ball. 215-592-9494. Interesting point by Ken, though, on Hurts. Again, I thought in the first half, Hurts blew opportunities. Now, to be clear, he wasn't the only one. The illegal man downfield stuff is nonsensical. I know it's complicated,
it was three times. And this is, remember, last year, the year before, it was an ongoing saga.
2021.
Why is this still happening?
Yeah, it's disaster.
It goes back.
Horrible.
And it can,
9 penalties.
And I appreciate that Sirianni postgame owned it, saying those were, you know, penalties. I was wondering in the game, why is he barking at the ref right now? Is he complaining about the call? Now, maybe what he was saying, if I had to guess, just a guess, maybe he was saying, hey, if you're going to call it on us, call it on them.
Yeah, or my guy got pushed down. Like that one, it looked like he kind of got spun. You know, I'm just saying, who knows? It could be something like that.
A little bit. But the other two were egregious. I mean, they were way down the field. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, a report on A.J. Brown. We'll go inside. What's going on with A.J.? NovaCare doctor is going to join us next. This is a big one. They need him. A.J. Brown's injury. They're a lesser team without him, despite what that caller told me 24 hours ago when he said, no big deal, A.J. is not playing tonight. Seriously, dude?
Whoops.
Is that guy listening? Seltzer, does that guy have to get banned? I mean, how do you come on WIP and act like it's no big deal A.J. Brown's not playing?
Nah.
For the love of God.
Yeah.
We're not in a good mood, but we're happy to, you know, be here with you today. We'll fight through it together. It stinks, but it is what it is. 1-1.